small units commanded by William Oates. As they're going up the hill towards the small contingent of Massachusetts soldiers, Joshua Chamber Lawrence knew that if he did not hold the line, that the whole backside of the Union Army could be turned over and Gettysburg would be something totally different than what resulted in. And as they were firing down upon soldiers or firing up at them, men were falling left and right, screams, agony, tears, mama! All kinds of things taking place on that battlefield. Death all around. And as lines were falling and gaps were being blown in the battle line, they knew they had to hold the line. And the commanders and the captains were screaming, fill that gap in over there. Fill that gap in, because if you don't, they're going to overrun us, boys. And that's the same kind of thing that was in thousands of other battles throughout the world, throughout time. Fill the gap, because if you don't fill the gap, we're going to be overrun. If you don't fill the gap, somebody's going to hurt us. Somebody's going to take us. Somebody is going to destroy us. This morning, let me ask you, who will fill the gap today? Now, right now, we don't have bullets buzzing all around us, and we don't have holes being blown upon our battle lines physically, but we have a spiritual battle going on every single moment of every single day. We have a spiritual enemy who is called Satan, and yes, he is real. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your family's life. He wants to destroy your church. He wants to destroy your cities. He wants to destroy this country. He wants to destroy everything. His goal is to destroy and to kill and to maim and to steal. And he'll do everything he can to do that. He'll attack you in your mind. He'll attack you in your body. He'll attack you through circumstances. He'll attack you any way that he can. And he is devastating people and families at this very moment. But we don't have to let him win. He is a defeated foe. Jesus Christ defeated him on that cross almost 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ died. He filled in the gap so that we don't have to die and go to hell. We have heaven waiting for us, eternal life through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But this morning, I want to challenge you. Here in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 22, we find some of the saddest words ever penned. Ezekiel chapter 22, I want you to turn there with me. Ezekiel chapter number 22. You find Isaiah, then you'll find Jeremiah, then you'll find Lamentations, and then you'll find Ezekiel. So turn in your Bibles if you would. I want you to follow along with this one. I want you to read this along with me. Some of the saddest words and the challenge to you and I this morning. Ezekiel chapter number 22. We're going to start at the end and then work our way back to the beginning. And my question for you in the title of the message this morning is, who will stand in the gap? Who will stand in the gap? You saw the pictures of the coffins. You saw the pictures of the rifles with the helmets on top of them. You saw the tears and you saw the emotional responses of family members who had buried a loved one. Those men and women stood in the gap, defending our country and defending our rights as Americans and defending foreign lands. They stood in the gap. They said, send me, I'll do it. But let me ask you this morning, brothers and sisters, will you say, send me? Will you stand in the gap this morning? Will you stand up against aggression? Will you stand up against spiritual darkness? Will you stand up from the things that want to destroy our families and our churches? Will you? Or will you do like it says here in Ezekiel 22 verse 30? God says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But he says the saddest words, but I found none. I found none. He is talking about Jerusalem. He is talking about the nation of Israel at this time. They had turned away from God. And God says, I looked and I sought and I touched people's lives. I called people to stand in the gap. But he says, sadly, I found no one to stand in the gap. To make up the hedge. Let me ask you a question. Is that what God is saying about Victory Baptist Church this morning? Is that what God is saying about Swain County and Jackson County and Macon County? Is that what God is saying about the state of North Carolina? Is that what God is saying about the United States of America? Is he looking at this congregation here? And he's saying, I'm seeking somebody to stand up. I'm seeking somebody who will make a difference. I'm seeking somebody who will surrender to me and say, enough is enough. Or is he saying, and no one answered the call? See, I can't answer that call for you. I can't answer that call for anybody else. I can only answer the call for me. And I pray, God, yes, I'll stand in the gap. I won't give up. I'm not going to let the enemy get in. Because brothers and sisters, that's a fierce battle. You know about it. How many of you have been tempted this week to do something wrong and to sin? How many of you have been tempted this morning? Just a few of us. That's all right. If you haven't been tempted this morning, you ain't alive. We have a spiritual battle. We have somebody who hates us. And the temptation is prevalent everywhere we go. And holes are being blown in families. I look out of the auditorium and I see a bunch of little ones this morning. Young people. They're being devastated. Through all types of forms and ways. I want to stand in the gap for them. I want to stand in the gap for families, for friends, neighbors, people I've never met. Now, God is referring to Israel here, and he's referring to Jerusalem here. And now Ezekiel, you would think, now wait a minute, I thought Ezekiel was serving God. Why wasn't he standing up here in Jerusalem? Because Ezekiel wasn't in Jerusalem at this time. He had already been exiled. He had been taken prisoner and taken out of the area. So it says right here, I looked in Jerusalem and I found nobody. But I want to show you something here. Go back to the beginning of this chapter and let's see what it looks like for people not standing in the gap. You think, now why is God saying that nobody's standing in the gap? Well, let's look at their attitudes. Now follow along with me, please. Look at the Word of God with me. Verse number 1 of chapter number 2, or 22, I'm sorry. Moreover, this is Ezekiel writing these words. He says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, and this is what he said. Now, thou son of man, speaking to Ezekiel, will you judge the bloody city? Yea, thou shalt show her all her abominations. He says, listen, I want you to stand up, and I want you to tell this city, this bloody city, and I want you to expose them to all their abominations. I want you to reveal to them the truth. Now, when I read that, I got to thinking, how applicable is that to you and I? Would you agree with me this morning? It's not politically correct to tell people that they're doing wrong. How many of you agree with that? Our society is all about making people feel good. Our society is, you need to tolerate this, and you need to tolerate that, and what you want to do, you're free to do it. If it feels good, do it. And guess what? There is no right and wrong. There is no black and white. If you like it, that's fine. That's what our society is teaching us. And for people to stand up and say, no, that's wrong. Uh-oh, that flies against what society does. You can't judge me. You can't tell me that I'm right. You can't tell me that I'm wrong. And what's happening now is that Christians, pastors, people are backing off because they don't want to hurt people's feelings. May I tell you this morning, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I really don't. I have no desire as a pastor to hurt your feelings. But brothers and sisters, I want the Holy Ghost to convict you if you're doing wrong. If I'm up here to make you feel good or to make you feel bad, guess what? You're worshiping me. My job is to deliver the Word of God so that you obey the Word of God or you deny the Word of God. That's what I want to do. You're not here to hear me. You're here to hear the Word of God. Now let me show you, stay right here. We're going to come back to this chapter in just a second. But let me show you chapter number 3 of this very same book. Go back to chapter number 3 because Ezekiel writes about this. Ezekiel chapter number 3, verse number 17. Let me show you something that God tells him, the responsibility that Ezekiel has here. And I feel the same responsibility here. Ezekiel chapter number 3, verse number 17. He says, son of man, he refers to Ezekiel like this several times. He says, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. He says, listen, Ezekiel, I have placed you here for a specific purpose. I have placed you here to warn. I have placed you here so that you will tell people. When I say unto the wicked, he says, thou shalt surely die, and you givest not him warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. He says, Ezekiel, if you're not willing to tell them their abominations, you're not willing to tell them how they've sinned against me, then guess what? They're going to die in their wickedness, and you're going to be responsible. That goes totally against what modern society is nowadays. Don't tell me I'm sinning. Don't tell me I'm doing wrong. Well, guess what? I can't tell you one thing or another, but God's word says that's what you're to follow. It's my responsibility as your pastor to lovingly tell you what the word of God says. My job as your pastor is not to say, it's okay to keep doing what you're doing. It's okay to commit adultery. That's not a problem. It's okay for you to lie and to steal and to gossip. That's okay for you to have relations with someone of the same sex. It's okay for you to marry someone that you want to marry. If you want to marry that tree, that's okay. If it makes you feel good, go ahead. Just as long as you keep putting your offering in, I don't care what you do. That's wicked. That's wrong. And as your pastor, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Thus saith the word of God. And then he tells Ezekiel this, verse number 18, or verse number 19. Yet, if you warn the wicked, and he turns not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. He says, listen, if you tell them the truth, and they don't listen to it, and they go ahead and do what they want to do, and they die, guess what? It's on them, not on you. Now, brothers and sisters, guess what? Do you care enough about people to tell them the truth? Or are you afraid of hurting their feelings? Are you afraid that you're going to lose a client? Are you afraid that you're going to lose a friend? Are you afraid that you're going to lose a job because you tell the truth? See, standing in the gap means telling and living the truth. Not capitulating, not giving up, not surrendering, because we've had enough of that. Why is America in the state America's in? Because we've had too many people not fill the gap. Why is our churches in the state it's in? Because we've had too many people not fill the gap. But I'm looking at some people who've been filling the gap right here. I see some people who have stood up and said, enough is enough, Brother Brian. Enough. I'm going to live for God. And I'm going to tell the truth of what God's word says. I'm looking at some gap fillers here this morning. But will you continue to? Or when the hard times come, will you just give up and say, I retreat, I give up? Particularly in the Civil War, they had what's called the front line. And then about 15, 20 yards, maybe 50 yards behind that front line, they had another guard of men. And when the people in the front line would start to melt away and get scared and run away, they would start heading backwards. They had somebody back there to remind them with a gun pointed at them. No, no, no. The front is that way. When we as Christians start to melt away and the gaps begin to open and we want to retreat from the truth, we have the Holy Spirit living up inside of us saying, hey, no, no, no. Go back. Stand in the gap. And then he says this, verse number 20. Again, when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood while requireth thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not and does not sin, he shall surely live because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. He says, tell those who are right to live right. If you don't warn them, there's dire consequences. I'm telling you. I'm warning you. Stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. You're needed. You're desperately needed. So that was on Ezekiel's heart. And as you read the entire book of Ezekiel, you see that. You see his passion. May I tell you this morning, I have a passion for you this morning. I have a passion for this country this morning. I have a passion to tell what the Bible says. But let me ask you, here this morning to fill in a block. Are you just simply here saying, okay, God, I showed up this morning, I checked my block, now I'm going to go home and I'm going to get into my shorts and I'm going to barbecue. I'm going to enjoy the rest of the day, I'm going to enjoy tomorrow, and I'm just going to get drunk and I'm going to do everything I can. But God, I went to church on Sunday. I made you happy, God. Or are you going to stand up and say, enough is enough. I'm tired of my children being chewed up and spit out by society. I'm tired of my family being destroyed. I'm tired of my church being destroyed. I'm tired of the wickedness of the world. I want to stand in the gap. Now here's the key issue. Now, children, look at me. Teenagers, look at me. There is no age requirement to stand in the gap. You're never too young to stand in the gap, and you're never too old to stand in the gap. If you have Jesus Christ, your Savior, your responsibility is to stand in the gap and to fill the hedge and to represent Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody's responsibility. Now go back to chapter 22. He gets very specific about the sins right here. In verses 3, he said, and I'm mocking to all countries. Those that be near and those that be far from thee shall mock thee, which are infamous and much vexed. The princes of Israel, every one, were in thee to power to shed blood. In thee have they set thy light by father and mother. In the midst of thee have they dealt by oppression with the stranger. And they have vexed the fatherless and the widows. They've given up. They've not taken care of the widows. They've not taken care of the orphans. They've turned their backs against them. You have verse number 8, it says, they have despised my holy things, and they have profaned my Sabbaths. They no longer care about the things of God. They no longer care about gathering. They no longer care about witnessing. They no longer care about serving me. All they're interested is in their pleasure. All they're interested in doing what they want to do. Verse number 9, it says, in thee are men that carry tales to shed blood, and they eat upon the mountains. In the midst of thee, they commit lewdness. And they have discovered their father's nakedness, and they have they humbled her that was set apart for pollution. And they have committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and hath lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law. And another, and they have humbled his sister, his father's daughter. You know what that's talking about, don't you? How many of you understand what that's talking about? Well, Brother Brian, there's some young ears in here, and maybe I'm not going into great detail, but guess what? They need to hear that any type of sexual relations outside of the marriage bed is wrong. And a marriage is between a man and a woman. Not a man and a man, not a woman and a woman. And he says, Israel, you have allowed this to take place. You've allowed these things to take place. You've allowed incest to happen. You've allowed all these things to take place. And I've seen it. And you've turned wicked. Verse number 12. They have taken gifts to shed blood. They've hired out for murder. You have taken usury and increase. And you have increased greedily gained of thy neighbors. But extortion has forgotten me, saith God. Says all these things. And you continue reading down through the chapter. He's very specific about the things they have done. God has seen it all take place. He says, I saw you do this and I saw you do that. So why didn't God just go ahead and destroy them to begin with? Why did he allow them to continue living this way? Because God is gracious and he's merciful and he wants people to get right. Now before you begin to judge these people, look in the mirror. I'm not judging anybody because guess what? I got the same problems everybody else has. I have a sin nature inside of me still. I don't have to do wrong. And I don't have to live according to the ways of the flesh. So my sin nature is still there because I have God as my Savior. Jesus Christ is coming to me. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. He has called me to live holy. He has called me to live righteous. He has called me to make a difference. He's called me to fill the gap. He's called me to do these things. I want to make a difference. If you read Moses, it says that Moses stood up to God and said, God, please don't destroy my people. God had had enough of the Israelites. They had worshipped that golden calf and they were dancing around that with clothes on. And Moses came down to the mountain with the Ten Commandments and he saw this going on. And God said, Moses, guess what? I'm done with my people. I'm going to destroy them. I've had enough of them. And Moses stood up and said, God, please don't. Please, God, I'll tell them what you're saying. God, I'm going to stand in the gap and I'm going to pray and I'm going to tell them the truth, God. Please don't destroy them. And we say that God didn't destroy the people. Moses stood in the gap. What about you this morning? Will you stand in the gap? I see those coffins and I see those crosses and I see those tears of families crying. And I see them standing in the gap, defending their families, defending their country. I thank God for our veterans. I thank God for those men and women who have given their life to support us for this great country. But most of all, I thank Jesus Christ for standing in the gap for us. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus died once for the sins of the whole world. He stood in the gap. He died on that cross so that you and I don't have to die and go to hell. We can have eternal life for Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are glad Jesus stood in the gap for us?
Amen.
So, Brother Brian, what does standing in the gap look like? Let me give you five quick things. Five quick things standing in the gap. That was all introduction. Here we go now. First thing, You must trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. I want you to write these down. I'll get you a pen. I'm going to give you five things how to stand in the gap. Number one, you must trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Write them down so you can go back and read these. You must trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. How can you stand in the gap unless you know the Savior? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Number two, pray like Moses did. Pray like Moses did. Psalm 106, 19 to 23. Psalm 106, 19 to 23. Pray like Moses did. The third way you can stand in the gap. Provide a spiritual wall for your family. Provide a spiritual wall for your family. The third way to stand in the gap is provide a spiritual wall for your family. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. I see some of you write and praise the Lord. Some of you looking at me like a calf looks out a new gate. I'm trying to help you with some ways to stand in the gap this morning. Number four, walk in the way of God and His Word. Walk in the way of God and His Word. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13. Walk in the way of God and His Word. And number five, serve as you have been called. Serve as you have been called. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. See, I didn't even get to those this morning. So number one, trust Jesus as your Savior. Number two, pray as Moses did. Number three, provide a spiritual wall for your family. Number four, walk in the way of God and His Word. And number five, serve as you have been called. I want to read one more scripture for you this morning. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might be received the adoption of sons. Jesus came to redeem us. He came to stay in the wrath of God on our behalf. He stood in the gap so that we may have eternal life. Let me ask you a question, please. Everybody look at me. Most important question I can ask you this morning. Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Have you trusted His death, burial, and resurrection on your behalf for salvation? You can't stand in the gap without it. But with it, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. We are more than conquerors through Him who saved us. Praise God for Jesus Christ. Now look at me. Will you stand in the gap? Well, Brother Brian, I'm not as young as I used to be. My hair is turning gray. My eyes are growing dim. My strength is ebbing away, Brother Brian. How can I stand in the gap? I just gave you five ways. I didn't see anything physical required in there. You see, Brother Brian, I'm too young. I'm only 6, I'm only 7, I'm only 12, I'm only 14. I just gave you five ways of standing in the gap. Did you hear them? And I'm not talking about these ears. I'm talking about this ear. Did you hear them? Will you stand in the gap? As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. What about you? What about you? Let's all stand together. Here's the invitation time. Ms. Gail's coming up. Brother Dan's getting ready to come up and sing. But right as I begin praying, I'm gonna encourage you. I'm going to ask you to leave wherever you're sitting, whether you're in the balcony, whether you're in the back row, whether in the front row. I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to ask you to come forward, and I'm going to ask you to get with your family, and I'm going to ask you to say, I'm going to stand in the gap, Brother Brian. We may not know exactly how to do everything, but we want to stand up for Jesus. We want to represent what God has done in our hearts. We're not perfection, but enough of this mamby-pamby, wishy-washy Christianity. It's enough. Will you stand up and stand for Jesus Christ in the gap? Heavenly Father, you know our needs. I pretend not to be perfect. I am not perfect. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Please forgive me. Help me to stand in the gap. Help me to be the man of God, the husband, the father, the pastor you want me to be. I pray for these men and women, these boys and girls in this very auditorium. May we get tired of the mamby-pamby, wishy-washy, milquetoast Christianity that's so prevalent nowadays. May we stand up for Jesus and make a difference in this world, one step at a time. Please, God, will somebody answer that call today? Please. In Jesus' name I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you need salvation, if you need to do the first step, I invite you to come right now. We'll show you from the Bible how you can trust Jesus as your Savior. But Christian, I want you to come right now. Won't you bring your family? Come stand in the gap this morning. Right now, come.
In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one.
I invite you to come this morning. Will you stand in the gap for Jesus?
In time.